Chapter 12. An Evening in the Courtyard. The month of May went by very quickly for Sandra, without one single call to supply teach. Somehow she managed to get enough money together for her rental payment, but not her university loans. She had no choice but to pay the interest charge, hoping next month would be better. Matthew was coming over twice a week now with his mother. Once he had even stayed for the hour on his own while his mother ran some errands. The little dark-haired boy loved to play spelling games and to look at the readers that Sandra borrowed from the library. Occasionally, he'd even tested out some of the special activities she kept stored away in the big cardboard boxes. She had a good laugh one evening near the end of May when Matthew said, "I wish I could come to your house every day. I love doing the stuff in your treasure boxes." Thinking about Matt, Sandra realized she had not yet met Brett's brother, the father of the boy. It seemed like a long while since she had last seen Brett. Sunday evening, the last day of the month, was particularly warm. Sandra took her meal of buttered brown rice, carrots, and celery sticks and went down to the courtyard to tea. One of these days she was going to give up the brown rice detox diet, but for now it was saving a lot of money on groceries. Underneath one arm was her Bible. As she had promised herself several times that week, she intended to read right through Genesis. "Tonight, I am finally going to read Chapter 1," she thought. Sandra took a seat at her favourite table. It was the closest to the gardens. Fat white peony buds were almost ready to bloom, and some of the blue irises were already showing. It will be June tomorrow, she thought pleasantly. June meant sunshine and warmth and beautiful walks along the harbour. Then suddenly she remembered. My one-month contract with James is up next week. I hope that he wants me to keep cleaning. I don't think I've messed up too badly on anything other than the T-shirts. However, from all that she had heard about James, she worried that he might be somewhat unpredictable. "Hey, Sandra, how's it going?" A familiar voice rang out. Sandra looked up to see Brett Lawson hand in hand with a lovely brunette. "Oh no," she thought to herself, as a huge wave of disappointment engulfed her. "How come the nice guys always belong to someone else?" "Hi," she said quietly. "How's your car?" he asked with a puzzled expression. In the setting sun, his blonde wavy hair was edged with gold. "Looks like it hasn't moved for a couple of weeks. Do you need someone to drive it to the shop for you? I'd be happy to help." "Thanks, but I haven't really needed a car," Sandra explained lamely. "I've been working right here in the manor, so I haven't had far to go." Brett didn't look convinced. His girlfriend looked over at Sandra with a friendly smile. "Well, let me know if you need any help. By the way, I've heard that Matt really enjoys his time with you. His parents say his reading has improved dramatically." "Oh, thanks," Sandra said with a wan smile. "And thanks for offering to help with the car." "Anytime," Brett assured her as he and his girlfriend waved goodbye and strolled off. Sighing deeply, very deeply, Sandra opened the Bible she had brought out and picked up a carrot stick. "Lucky girl," she mused, watching the couple stroll across the courtyard to the street and get into Brett's shiny red Mustang. "She gets the good-looking guy and the sweetest car." Watching them speed away, Sandra picked glumly at her food. "Another daydream evaporates," she despaired. "Why did I get my hopes up?" However, there was not much she could do about it. Brett obviously belonged to someone else. Opening her Bible, Sandra tried to concentrate on the words before her, but it was difficult. She was staring blankly at the page. "I wonder if I should pray before I read," she considered finally. "Jessica always prays before we have a class." Having heard a number of prayers in the past few weeks, Sandra had more of an idea about what she should say. "Heavenly Father," she whispered forlornly, reminding herself to start with the positives. "Thank you for this food I'm eating and this book I've been given. Thank you for the little bit of work I've found, and please send more. Thank you for letting me find out who the two brothers were, and I pray that somehow I might be able to help both of them. I'm hurting all over right now, but I really want to know what you've promised us for the future and how to have a part in the kingdom that Jessica has told me so much about. Please be with me. In Jesus' name, amen." Sandra had half-heartedly read through about 20 verses when another tenant came walking into the courtyard. "Is This is a busy place, she thought. It's rather distracting out here. Glancing up curiously, she was surprised to see James. I haven't seen him since that very first day, she thought. That was almost a month ago. James caught her eye, and a slow look of recognition came over him. Sandra? He asked hesitantly. Hi, James, she said, forcing a smile. Hey, how are you? He said cheerily, sliding into the seat across from her. I hardly recognized you, he apologized. It's been a while, and, well, we only talked briefly last time. That's okay, Sandra said, thinking you haven't been looking at my photos every Tuesday, as I have yours. Have you been out for a walk? She asked. In denim shorts and a loose-fitting red T-shirt, James certainly hadn't been at work. Yes, I was, he admitted. It's such a nice evening. Looking down at what she was eating, James looked perplexed. Rice and carrot sticks, he remarked. Aren't you the girl who makes gourmet meals and frozen yogurt? A blush crept over Sandra's face. She didn't think James would be open to the virtues of a brown rice diet or the financial savings. It's fun to cook for other people, she replied, smiling sadly. I can't be bothered cooking for myself. James didn't look convinced. He said, I'm not sure if my notes have conveyed my full gratitude, but please know that I really look forward to Tuesday nights, coming home to a sparkling, clean home, and the most amazing, delicious smells coming from my kitchen is the highlight of my week. So I guess he's not about to fire me, Sandra mused, appreciative of the compliments. I'm thankful for the work, she smiled. James nodded. Glancing down at the book she held in her hands, he asked, You're reading the Bible? Are you a Christian? I'm not really anything, Sandra confessed. This is actually the first day I've tried to read on my own. She pointed to the page. See, I'm only in Genesis chapter 1. What made you decide to begin reading the Bible? He probed. The orange flyer you threw out? She thought impishly. But no, I don't think I'll mention anything about Peter and Jessica just yet. As soon as I do, James might shut the door on me. I have a friend I've been talking to about religion, Sandra relayed instead. We've only had a couple of discussions, and I've been amazed by the promises God has made in this book. Such as? James queried. Looking up into James's hazel brown eyes, Sandra liked the sincere, caring expression she saw there. I don't understand what's going on between Peter and his brother, she thought, but I'm going to share what Jess has told me and see how he reacts. Have you heard about the promises God made to Abraham and David? I'm not exactly sure, James admitted. What are they? James listened politely as Sandra described the promises and the way they relate to believers today. There was no way she could explain everything exactly as Jessica had, but starting with Abraham, she tried her best. However, when Sandra tried to explain that David had been promised a son who would sit on his throne forever, build a temple, and bring the kingdom of God to earth in the future, James disagreed. I don't know about that, Sandra, he said with a shake of his head. I'm fairly certain that Solomon was the complete fulfillment of that promise on earth. Can I look at your Bible for a sec? Sure, Sandra said, passing it to him. For almost 5 minutes, James searched diligently for a passage he wanted to find. Sandra watched as he flipped page after page, running his finger down the side as he skimmed through the words. Finally, he found what he was looking for. Listen to this, he said. This is what Solomon said after he had finished building the temple for God. Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he promised. There has not failed one word of all his good promise which he promised through his servant Moses. You see, he said, Solomon completely fulfilled God's promise to David on this earth. For a moment, Sandra was puzzled. But Jess explained it all so clearly, she thought. Eventually, she remembered the angel's words to Mary, the mother of Jesus. Then what did the angel mean in Luke chapter 1? She asked. He repeated this promise to Mary. James looked up the promise, turning the Bible sideways so that they both could see. Perusing verse 30 to 35 thoughtfully for a moment, James shook his head. Jesus reigns over spiritual Israel now, he insisted, in the church. His kingdom is here already. Besides, believers are going to be raptured from this earth and it's going to be burned up. Our hope is in heaven. Where does it say that? Somewhere in the epistles of Peter, James replied, flipping to the end of her Bible. He scanned a few pages before finding the passage he wanted. "Here it is," he said. "In 2 Peter 3, verse 10, it says, 'But the day of the Lord will come as a thief, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall be dissolved with fervent heat, and the earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up.'" Sandra was confused, but she didn't feel she knew enough to debate the matter, and she certainly didn't want to argue with James. She would have to ask Jessica about it. However, she still hadn't shown James the passage Jessica had especially wanted him to see. "Can I show you one more exciting verse?" she asked. With a smile, James shrugged. "Of course." Galatians chapter 3 captured James' attention more than any of the others. He read the verses over a number of times. "That's interesting," he said. "So if we belong to Christ, then we have a part in Abraham's promises. I've never really thought much about the Old Testament promises. I just assumed they were for the Jewish people." "And if we want to belong to Christ," Sandra reiterated, remembering the other important point that Jessica longed to share, "then we need to be baptized." "We need to be baptized?" Sandra pointed to verse 27. "Isn't that what it says?" "I'm not sure," James said hesitantly, skimming through the verses once more. "On the surface it seems to be saying that. But my pastor says that we just have to believe in Jesus and ask him to come into our heart. If Jesus is in our heart, then we're good with God." "Really?" Sandra said, wondering if there was another way to see it all. "Do you mind if I just have a look at something?" James said. "Okay." James took the Bible again and shuffled to the very end. After flipping back and forth between a few pages, he put his finger on a verse thoughtfully. "It is interesting what you're saying about the promises," he admitted. "I've been reading through Revelation on my own lately, and there's plenty that I don't understand, but I remember reading this verse and wondering how it fit." Moving the Bible sideways again so that Sandra could see the passage, James pointed to it and said, "Right here, the believers are in heaven talking to Jesus, and it says, 'And they sang a new song, saying, You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth.' I thought it was a little strange that it didn't say reign over the earth," James explained. "But if what you're saying is right," he reasoned, "then maybe the believers will come down from heaven at some point to reign with Jesus on a new earth, in this kingdom that you're talking about." "They'll come down from heaven?" Sandra questioned, but Sandra almost said Jessica's name, and she caught herself just in time. "So we go to heaven after we die, and then we come back to earth?" "Maybe," James replied with a smile. "We definitely go to heaven. The coming back to an earth is a new thought for me." Sandra was curious. "This is interesting," she thought. From what she remembered of the rare religious discussions she had had in the past with her Christian friends, heaven had been a place they believed they would go. Perhaps Jessica was mistaken. Maybe James is right after all. "Does it say somewhere in the Bible that we go to heaven?" she inquired. James looked at her thoughtfully for a moment. Then he flipped through some pages until he came to the gospel accounts. "Here you have it quite clearly," he said, turning the Bible around for her. "When Jesus was dying on the cross, two other men were crucified beside him. One of them, a thief, confessed his sins and begged that Jesus would remember him when he came into his kingdom. Jesus said, 'Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise.'" Sandra silently read the passage a couple of times. "So Jesus and the thief both went to heaven when they died?" she clarified. "Sounds like it to me. Doesn't it to you?" "Yes, it does," she replied, wondering what Jessica would say. With a friendly smile, James stood up. "Anyway, thanks for the conversation," he said. "I've never paid much attention to those promises before. I'll have to talk to my pastor about them. You sure know a lot for someone who is only starting to read the Bible." A little shiver ran down Sandra's spine. "James is thanking me for this conversation," she thought. "This is what Jessica and Peter wanted to show him. But what if he finds out that I've been talking to them? Will he feel that I set him up for this? Should I have leveled with him from the very start?" Sandra suddenly hoped that James wasn't going to ask who her friends were or whether he could join them the next time they got together. She was most relieved when he changed the subject. "So you're happy with everything?" he inquired, having moved only a few steps away from the table. "The cleaning job is working out for you? You're still okay with it all?"
"It's been fun," Sandra smiled. "Oh, and sorry for taking your newspaper before you'd finished reading it."
James chuckled. "That's okay. Thanks for returning it. And sorry for making a mess of the fridge after you just cleaned it. I hated to leave you with that twice in a row."
There were other apologies to make. James explained where the other white shirts had been hiding. Sandra apologized for the permanent spots on his T-shirts. Suddenly, James looked down at his watch. "Oops, gotta go," he said, pulling his BlackBerry out of his belt clip and beginning to text. "My mum invited me for dinner, and I was supposed to be there 15 minutes ago."
"Lucky guy," Sandra mused, watching James head to the outdoor parking lot. "His mum invites him over for dinner. He has all his family close by." She turned back to her Bible with very mixed emotions. They'd had such an interesting discussion. James had been so open and easy to talk with, not antagonistic at all. He'd given her some good points to ponder, and Sandra could hardly wait to tell Jessica about it the next time they got together. "But why do I feel uneasy?" she wondered. "I feel like I wasn't totally honest with James. Will he find out who I've been talking to? Will he be upset?"